John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my crop?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are news from the front line. We can be reached at WSQTRadio@hushmail.com, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for November 7th to 12th, 2010. Palestinians continue to stress the need to reach a peace deal. Meanwhile, Israel plans to build more settlements and continue to attack Palestinian communities. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. Let's begin our weekly report, as usual, with the nonviolent activities in the West Bank. IMEMC's Sami Talhami with the details.
Anti-wall protests this week took place in the villages of Bil'in and Na'lin in central West Bank and also in Al-Ma'sara in southern West Bank. This week's protests were in commemoration of late Palestinian President Yasser Arafat, who died 6 years ago. Israeli and international supporters joined the villagers at all three locations. Israeli soldiers used force on Friday to suppress the weekly anti-wall protest at the village of Al-Ma'sara. Israeli troops stopped the protests at the entrance of the village, then used batons and rifle butts to force people back into Al-Ma'sara. In Bil'in village, the protest started shortly after the midday prayers at the local mosque. As has been the case for the past 6 years, protesters marched from the village to the local farmers' lands on the other side of the wall. As soon as the protesters reached the gate of the wall, local organizers and political leaders made speeches. When people tried to cross the gate to their lands, soldiers stationed there fired tear gas and sand bombs at them. Many were treated for the effects of tear gas inhalation. This week, the protest ended with clashes between local youth and Israeli soldiers, but without any injuries. In the nearby Na'lin village, villagers held the midday prayers at their lands near the wall. Later, they were joined by Israeli and international supporters and marched up to the gate of the wall, separating local farmers from their lands. Israeli soldiers stationed there fired tear gas and sand bombs at unarmed protesters. Many were treated for the effects of tear gas inhalation. For IMEMC.org, this is Sami Talhami.
During a West Bank public speech this week, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas emphasized the need to reach a peace agreement with Israel. He also reasserted his wish for a Palestinian national unity that includes the ruling Hamas party in Gaza. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton committed her country to the preservation of Israel's security in any upcoming peace deal between the Palestinians and Israel. IMEMC's Rami Al-Mighari has more.
Palestinian President reiterates call on Israel to resume direct peace talks with Palestinians after the Israeli state halts all settlement construction on occupied Palestinian territories. During a speech marking the 6th anniversary of the death of late Palestinian President Yasser Arafat, Abbas maintained that previous Israeli governments, including later Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, had recognized Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, as the sole representative for the Palestinian people. He went into saying that hence all Palestinian political parties, including the ruling Hamas in Gaza, which is rival to Fatah Party of Abbas, should abide by the PLO's drive towards peace negotiations with Israel on basis of the inalienable legitimate Palestinian right, including the right to return to historical Palestine. In a call to the Hamas party in Gaza following the failure of a new round of national unity talks in Damascus this week, the Palestinian president encouraged further unity talks until the rival parties reach an agreement.
We won't say more. We want dialogue, and this dialogue should succeed.
Meanwhile, in her efforts to bring Palestinians and Israelis together back to the negotiating table, U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton met yesterday in New York with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The two discussed stalled peace talks and agreed on the importance of Israel's security in any future peaceful settlement. Clinton pledged that the U.S. will guarantee maximum security of Israel within any future agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. In the meantime, the U.S. Secretary reiterated call on Israel to stop all settlement building on occupied Palestinian lands. On the internal level, the ruling Hamas party in Gaza criticized Abbas's remarks over national unity as not signaling a unity deal soon. However, Hamas reaffirmed willingness to continue dialogue until an agreement is reached. This week, a new round of unity talks failed without reaching any agreement based on an Egyptian-produced conciliation paper that Fatah signed in October of last year. Rami Al-Mighari, IMEMC.org, Gaza.
This week, the Israeli military conducted at least 34 military incursions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. Israeli attacks this week left two Palestinians injured. The details with IMEMC's Kathy Winter.
During this week's military invasions to West Bank communities, Israeli troops arrested 18 Palestinian civilians, including 6 children, and the Secretary of the Palestinian Legislative Council, Dr. Mahmoud Al-Ramahi. On Sunday, Israeli police destroyed a mosque in the Palestinian Bedouin town of Rahat in the southern Israel. The mosque was considered built without a permit, according to Israeli Land Administration. Around 1,000 people gathered to protest against the demolition, and 5 of them were arrested. Clashes broke out also on Tuesday morning between Israeli forces and hundreds of Palestinian schoolchildren in Al-Azawiya neighborhood in East Jerusalem. Tensions allegedly erupted after the Israeli military erected roadblocks at the eastern entrance of the neighborhood, obstructing access to school classrooms. The residents of Silwan also witnessed undercover police officers detaining 5 young men and beating 4 others during a raid on a grocery store. Palestinian sources reported that Israeli soldiers abducted an owner of a construction material store on Tuesday night and requested the shopkeeper to head to the nearest police station for questioning. Both are residents from the village of Silwan, a neighborhood in Jerusalem. On Wednesday in Gaza, a Palestinian worker was wounded by Israeli military fire while working near Beit Hanun terminal in the northern part of the strip. Also in Gaza, Israel launched a ground incursion with its forces advancing hundreds of meters into the east of the southern city of Khan Yunis. The attack was conducted after Israeli fighter jets circled over Gaza last night. For IMEMC.org, this is Kathy Winter.
And that was just some of the news from this week in Palestine. For more updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Thank you for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This report has been brought to you by Hussein Qassis and George Rushmel.
Baghdad yesterday, the secular Iraqi bloc walked out of the Iraqi parliament as other factions formed a nominal government and reappointed Prime Minister Maliki for another term. Many Sunni residents fear he is too close to Iran and that they may have to take up arms again. Baghdad, Wednesday. 11 roadside bombs detonated within an hour of each other in three predominantly Christian areas of central Baghdad early Wednesday. Four of the blasts hit houses belonging to Christians, and two mortar rounds struck Christian enclaves of the predominantly Sunni neighborhood of Dora in south Baghdad. Baghdad, Wednesday. Eight people were wounded Wednesday in a rocket attack against a fortified green zone in central Baghdad, according to a security source reporting to Aswat al-Iraq News Agency. The rocket scored direct hits in the residential section of the occupied green zone. Kirkuk, Thursday. Unknown resistance fighters attacked a U.S. military air base in northeastern Iraq, according to Iraqi security officials. The base, located near Kirkuk, was hit by mortar fire and two Katyusha rockets early on Thursday, Police Chief Sarhad Gadar told Fars News Agency. Mr. Barack Obama, does this sound to you like the surge worked? Does this sound like a viable plan to copy in Afghanistan? Three more NATO soldiers died there Wednesday and Thursday. Now is the time to get off this treadmill of death. Bring all the troops home today.
And no amount of money you could give me, honey, couldn't pay me. Ain't going back again.
Suppose army recruiting ads had to have side effect warnings like drug advertisements on TV do.
The United States Army may not be right for every patient. Side effects can include distress, disillusionment, bitter resentment, isolation, traumatic and post-traumatic stress, sociopathic behavior, uncontrollable sobbing, uncontrollable violence, prosecutions for war crimes, prosecutions for domestic crimes, loss of contact with loved ones, loss of ability to love, brain injuries, blindness, depleted uranium poisoning, flashbacks, horror of death, horror of being away from death, loss of the use of limbs, loss of limbs, death, suicide, excruciating pain, a desire to feel excruciating pain, overwhelming rage and misery, loss of hearing, punishment by the army for failure to obey illegal orders, punishment by courts of law or by enemy forces for obeying illegal orders, torture, humiliation, shame, dangerous habits of blind subservience, or the wasting of what could have been the best years of your life. If you experience any of these symptoms, deal with it, sucker. You already signed your name on the dotted line.
Conspicuously absent from all the debates and political advertisements inundating the airwaves before the November 2, 2010 congressional midterm election was any discussion about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan from any perspective. Suicide bombings and massacres are continuing in Iraq, overwhelmingly affecting civilians, while the Iraqi government has been deadlocked since elections this past March. The number of Americans dying in Iraq has dropped sharply, while in Afghanistan, 2010 has been by far the deadliest year of the nine-year-old conflict, with 413 Americans killed so far. Yet, neither incumbents nor their challengers were talking about the wars, and the media have almost universally ignored the issue during the 2010 campaign. Aaron Hughes, organizing team leader with Iraq Veterans Against the War, served in the Illinois National Guard from 2002 to 2006 and was deployed to Iraq for 15 months in 2003 to 2004, driving a supply truck. His original six-month tour of duty was extended three times. After returning to the U.S., Hughes joined Iraq Veterans Against the War, which now has 2,000 members, including a growing number of vets from the Afghan War. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhus spoke with Hughes about the phenomenon of political and media war amnesia in this year's election and its implications.
I recently watched The Daily Show, and the president was on The Daily Show just the other day, and he came on and he talked about why he won the election. And he brought up all these different types of reform, like health care reform. And during that little segment, he did not mention the fact that he won or had ran on an anti-war platform. And he didn't once bring up the war, nor did John Stewart. And, you know, on a really personal level, I just found it just insulting or dismissive. I mean, I understand that he has political points, and he's in the middle of a majorly contested election where the Democrats are trying to hold on to seats, and, you know, I understand all of those politics, but to not even acknowledge these wars are going on, it doesn't seem to acknowledge the sacrifices and the loss that's been going on. You know, the repression of these issues, I think, is why the suicide rate is so high and why the self-destruction of veterans on their return is so high, because no one is acknowledging these wars. You know, outside of people's political perspectives on the wars, the fact that people aren't even acknowledging that they're taking place and that people are losing their lives and having to kill people, it's just a disgrace. I think it's really saddening to me. You know, one of IVAW's main positions, Iraq Veterans Against the War, right now is we just launched a campaign called Operation Recovery, Stop the Deployment of Traumatized Troops. Because right now, a bare minimum of 20% of the soldiers, according to the DOD's own statistics, are already diagnosed with PTSD or military sexual trauma or traumatic brain injury. And they're being redeployed and redeployed and redeployed. And they're being redeployed because the military's numbers are so low that they keep having to rely on the same number of soldiers to fight these occupations. And my perspective is, if this country isn't behind these wars, why are we keep sending these young men and women off to fight them?
Have you seen any response yet to your campaign by any branch of government?
At our campaign announcement on October 7th, the anniversary of the Afghanistan invasion, our campaign was brought up at the White House briefing, and the response was to refer to the Department of Defense regulations. And according to the Department of Defense own regulations, they are violating those regulations. And we know that we're in an uphill battle to enforce these regulations, but the fact that no one in Congress or Senate is actively trying to enforce the Department of Defense to hold up to their own regulations.
Aaron Hughes, why do you think no politicians are talking about the wars?
When the wars are so unpopular publicly that there's not a right answer for a politician to take. And so it becomes a political discourse. It's one where what they're saying, no matter what they say about the war, it's not going to improve their ratings. Whether they say that they believe in the war, whether they say they don't believe in the war, or whether they talk about the complexities of the war, no matter what, acknowledging the war is not going to help them win the election in any direction, especially with over 70%, somewhat of 70% of the population not believing, not agreeing with these wars. So I just think it's a politically problematic thing for politicians to be bringing up if they are trying to win an election.
What will Iraq Veterans Against the War be doing after the election? Will you continue focusing on your Operation Recovery project or other things?
We have a multiplicity of projects that we are working on, but our focus as an organization right now is Operation Recovery, and we're focusing on this because we just find it to be the most egregious act of the military to continuously redeploy these troops that it knows and is aware of that they have already been diagnosed with these conditions And the fact that they give them prescription drugs and redeploy them, I think is extremely problematic. And we're working in that practice. I don't know anybody that can say they're for the deployment of traumatized troops, and we're hoping to end that practice. So that's our focus. But we also do work around truth and recruiting, trying to inform youth about the realities of serving within the military. And we also do solidarity projects. We work with U.S. Labor Against the War to support Iraqi union working rights.
Is there anything you want to add about this situation where wars are being ignored, basically?
I think this just shows us as individuals that aren't necessarily a part of the political system that we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of coming together and raising our voices about this issue, because if we don't force the politicians to take on the war, these wars are just going to drag on, and we're going to force more and more service members to lose their lives. And the question is, what for?
That was Aaron Hughes of Iraq Veterans Against the War. Contact the group by calling area code 217-898-9083 or visit their website at ivaw.org.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 88.1 FM from the heart of occupied Washington. We are news from the front line. We can be reached at WSQT Radio@hushmail.com. WSQT Radio@hushmail.com.
Well, DNA, it's natural. It's the building block of life. And when the good Lord put it together, you know, I think he did it upright. He made lots of different organisms, a complex web of life. Each one depended on another, and so the circle had closed up tight. But then along came a man and a microscope, and he separated the genes. And when he put them all back together, he made lots of strange, unnatural things. And now food crops grow on the ocean floor, cows, they grow on trees. Now the ranchers gaze while their oysters graze on grass that depends on a hormone spray and our genetically modified world.
On the 7th of November, the American College of Toxicology met at the Baltimore Marriott Waterfront Hotel. At this convention were a number of animal research firms, including Puppy Killing Huntington Life Sciences, where undercover investigations have caught so-called researchers punching beagle puppies in the face and dissecting live monkeys with no painkillers. A blizzard of phone calls forced the hotel to agree never to host this convention again, but they refused to cancel, so animal rights protesters showed up outside.
Once again, we are here for the Marriott Hotel because Marriott is hosting the American College of Toxicology. The American College of Toxicology brings corporates, brings together horrible vivisection leaders such as Huntington Life Sciences, Covance, and Charles River Laboratories. The Marriott has been made well aware of why we are here. The Marriott has been getting phone calls all this week with concerned citizens asking them nicely to cancel their contract with the American College of Toxicology. The Marriott and Ed Rosinsky has stated and has agreed to not host the American College of Toxicology again next year. Marriott and Ed Rosinsky, we're going to hold you accountable for this and check back. Keep on checking back and making sure that you don't let these monsters inside your hotel again. Hey, Dallas!
At first, protesters used powerful bullhorns in front of the hotel, but Baltimore cops threatened to arrest them for sound equipment, even though there is no law prohibiting its use, and even tried to intimidate protesters out of recording this exchange.
Oh, that lie. Because we've heard that before, and I checked. I called various agencies, I called various services, and couldn't find those logs on the book.
Yeah, you can't use the amplifiers. You can stand here and do it. You can stand here and do your... I don't know. Go get it in writing and bring it back to me, and then we'll talk about it, okay?
Ma'am, first of all,
I'm not giving you permission to tape me or take my picture, okay?
It's legal to tape police officers in a public spot.
Ma'am, I told you, I'm not giving you permission to tape me, okay?
You hear me asking for permission, you stupid cop?
This is a public area. You can't deny permission in a public area. If you don't want to be filmed in a public area, then you can't come to public areas.
So do your thing here, but you cannot use the amplifiers.
What?
You cannot use the amplifiers, okay? And that's it.
What's the law then?
Disorderly conduct. People pay to come here to sleep, okay? To sleep. This is a hotel. All right? Doesn't matter if it's 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. If they pay to sleep, that's what they're here to do. If you want to do your demonstration, that's fine, but you cannot use the horns to do it.
This is a,
that's the bottom line.
This is for zoning now. This is zoned as a business area, and so...
Well, they don't have a law. Like, you'd ask us to bring a law because he says we're violating a law.
All those threats didn't work. You just heard those cops right here. The protests went on for at least a half hour after that confrontation. In the Baltimore Marriott Waterfront Hotel, the American College of Toxicology, and for Huntington Life Sciences, there's no sleep for the wicked.
For the past 64 years, the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia, has been graduating assassins, dictators, and death squad leaders to do the dirty work of the elite in Latin America. The taxpayer-funded SOA has left a trail of violence and suffering in every country where its graduates have returned. Hundreds of thousands of Latin Americans have been tortured, raped, assassinated, disappeared, displaced, and massacred by those trained at the SOA. Enough is enough. Every year, thousands gather in Georgia to protest U.S. military involvement in Latin America. Join us at the gates of the SOA this November to honor the victims, celebrate the resistance, and pressure our government to shut down the school once and for all. From November 18th to 21st, we will have live concerts, speakers from around the world, street theater, workshops, and more. For more information on how you can stand with us to end the injustice, visit soaw.org or call 202-234-3440.